Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Got the update from One Bills Drive. Bills practice is over. We'll get a post-practice participation report. That's right, a post-practice participation report coming up shortly. I don't know if we'll have it in time for the end of the show.
Sounds official.
They practice outdoors today, getting set for the Eagles game on Sunday. Matt Milano was going to be limited today with his hamstring. Duke Williams, Kevin Johnson, both of them limited as well. Both of them wearing red non-contact jerseys. Wide receiver John Brown not on the field at the early open media portion of practice today. Maybe we'll get an update on that. Bills Eagles kick it off 1 o'clock on Sunday at New Era Field. John Hussey will be your referee. The weather forecast for Sunday calls for rain and a 60% chance of rain and a high of 57 degrees for the Bills in Philadelphia. Bills corner Tre'Davious White is the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He provided the spark against the Miami Dolphins last week. Buffalo trailing winless Miami 14-9 in the third quarter. Tre'Davious White with an interception down near the goal line, following that up with a forced fumble, and the Bills turned it around and won the game. Tre'Davious White, first time he's been named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Trades in the NFL 6 days before the trade deadline. The Lions traded safety Quandre Diggs and a seventh-round pick to Seattle for a fifth-round pick yesterday. The 49ers acquired wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders from the Denver Broncos for third- and fourth-round picks next year. Sabres with an overtime win, 4-3 last night over San Jose. They improved to 8-1-1 in their first 10 games this year, matching their second-best record through 10 games in franchise history. Jack Eichel with a four-point night last night, including the overtime game winner. Now the Sabres off today. They open up a back-to-back set on the road tomorrow. They play the Rangers at Madison Square Garden in New York tomorrow. Then they play in Detroit on Friday. And game two of the World Series coming up tonight, the Washington Nationals with a good start. They beat the Houston Astros 5-4 last night, and game two is tonight. 8:07 first pitch, Steven Strasburg on the mound, Justin Verlander for the Astros. Game two, World Series, Washington leads it one game to none. That's the update from One Bills Drive. We got a what do we got tomorrow? We got Thurman Thomas coming up on the show tomorrow, Steve. We got Friday, we got a good show lining up. Drew Bledsoe is going to join us Friday. He's coming back for the game. Drew Bledsoe, the former Bills and Patriots quarterback, going to be on the show with us on the line on Friday. Greg Cosell, yeah. You know the drill on Fridays. Yeah, it'll be good. Good to talk with Drew.
Yeah, I've spoken with him briefly over the years, but, you know, he was all too brief a time here in Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree. He was fairly effective for a while, and then they decided to go the other way, to a lossman. Right. We might not deal with that. We will ask him what he thinks about Josh. Josh Allen met with the media following today's practice, and here's what the Bills quarterback had to say today.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's frustrating. Obviously, you want to hit every throw that you put out there. I don't know if we've attempted too many deep passes, and when we've had them, I haven't done a good enough job of putting the ball where it needs to be. And it's something we're working on. It's something that I don't have any worries or any thoughts about, and it's something that'll be taken care of, and I got really no doubts on that. So, we're just kind of playing it one game at a time, trying to get better each and every week. I understand the fans want to see the deep ball, but, that's not really the part of the job of the quarterback. You know, we're doing a good job moving the chains on third down and converting when we need to. So, that's about it.
The one to Andre, what was your immediate reaction, and then when you watched the film, you're like,
yeah, it came out hot, and I saw too high, and Andre made a good read, and he was flying, and just one of those balls where it's one of those split second decisions where you got to find out how much strength you got to put behind it, and it left the hand. I thought I had a chance, and got up in that wind, and the wind kind of took it a little bit, and obviously, hindsight's 20/20, and wish we could have it back, but at the end of the day, we got the job done.
There are a number of those, every situation is different, right? Every pass you throw in that scenario.
Yep.
A number of factors that are at play. But can you shed any light on what's going on? Because, your completion percentage is up into the 60s this year overall. From a fundamental standpoint, can you explain maybe what's going right and what's going wrong relative to
getting a better field? We've got the concepts in. We got the guys that can run it. Ultimately, it's up to me to put the ball where it needs to be put. So, I take full responsibility for all that, and it's something, like I said, we're working on it, and I've got no worries or doubts that it'll be fixed, and we got a lot of guys that come in ready to work each and every day, and So we'll get on the same page.
Does that limit the offense from do you feel like it limits the ability to stretch the field?
No, not at all. Nope.
Is there a percentage of that that's still kind of working with an entire new group of wide receivers, essentially?
I mean, I guess you could say that, but at the end of the day, the ball's in my hand. I got to figure out, angle of departure, the speed at which the guy's running, where other guys and defenders are at, and put the ball where it needs to be and allow ourselves to get a chance to go make a play. And, obviously haven't been doing a good enough job with that if I'm getting all these questions.
Josh, where do you feel you are on the spectrum of diagnosing stuff pre-snap? Dave's just referenced, your diagnosis last week when you get beat on the crosser, you change the protection and all that stuff. From the time you talked to Chris Sims about your first start against the Chargers when you said it was a scramble, maybe where you are now, where are you on that spectrum of diagnosing pre-snap?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've seen a good amount of football in my first year. And I think being in the same system, the same protections, understanding where my answers are, understanding where I may not be protected, I think that's where I've really improved this offseason. I'm not going to say I'm there yet, and there's still a lot to learn, a lot to see. I haven't seen everything in the game of football. I don't think anybody has, but each week is going to present a different opportunity, to learn, and a different challenge for me to go up there and make the right protections and get ourselves in a suitable position where we can make a good play.
And then taking that step further, how does that impact you personally, just from a confidence standpoint of, I put the time in for preparation, here it is, I'm calling it, and I know I'm right, kind of thing?
No, that when you can go back there as a quarterback and be comfortable in what is called, you've got a clear vision in your head of what the route concepts look like, and then you know you don't have to worry about the protection once you get it right, and you know where your answers are. It allows you to play free, very confident, and our front five has been doing a good job of, holding up and protecting thus far. And, I don't see any reason that wouldn't continue.
Josh, you've seen some inconsistencies and lulls in games with the offense. Through six games, have you noticed any sort of pattern develop as to what maybe leads and why those moments are happening?
We've done a lot of self-scouting and, just kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, whether it's a mental error, it's me not – making the right decision at the line of scrimmage, pre-snap penalty, something like that. It's really not what the other team's doing. We got to go out there. We got to execute our stuff. We've got a good enough game plan with Coach Dable, and we're very well coached, and we're a smart and tough team. And I truly believe that, and I think that as long as we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, I make the right decisions, we put the ball in our playmakers' hands, I think that's where we're going to find our success.
If you clean those things up, how much bigger steps forward do you think this offense can take?
I don't really like looking ahead like that. We're just trying to improve, come out here and get better each and every day, working on the things we need to work on. Like I said, each game presents a different opportunity and a different challenge. We got a good one this week, and it's a really good Eagles defense that we're going to be playing. So they're going to be up to the task, ready to come into our stadium and take what we want. So we got to be prepared, and we got to have a good game plan for this week and go out there and execute.
You're in a hole or the game's on the line or that sort of thing, you collectively as a group are able to kind of flip that switch. What goes into that and what prevents it from happening?
It's not like somebody's up there giving a rah-rah speech and getting everybody inspired. It's collectively, we just kind of look at each other and it's time to like get to business here. Our defense has been doing a good job. They're doing a great job over there. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. No, they've been doing a good job of keeping us in the game. We've been able to kind of execute in the fourth quarter, and I think that's due to the preparation that we have, how we practice, all the situations that Coach McDermott gives us in practice, and it's just the group of men that we have. We truly do have a special group here, and we care about each other. We lean on each other, and that's when it matters most in the fourth.
Before week one, Sean said that the team was looking to develop an identity on offense. Now entering week six, do you guys feel like you have an identity? And if so, maybe where is that?
Yeah, I definitely think we got an identity. I think we've got a lot of room for improvement as well. We still haven't played our best game collectively as an offensive unit, really as a team for that matter. And we're sitting at 5-1, and we feel good about what we've done, but we don't feel complacent or good enough of what we want to be and where we want to go. So, like I said, each week we get to learn and grow, and it's going to be no different this week. We're just trying to attack it one game at a time.
So, be a team that can, like you were saying, rallies in the fourth quarter. Is that part of this?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of being able to, that's our identity a little bit. We're going to play close games, and then we believe that we're going to pull it out.
Yeah, this is a team that's going to play for 60 minutes. We're tough. We're gritty. You know, we're Buffalo. And I think Coach, our front office, you know, Bean and Joe have done a good job of putting the pieces around us. And just a really good collective group of men that really care about each other and what we do.
Where do you feel you're at on the issue of ball security? Because, I mean, you had the one bad throw against Tennessee. No turnovers this past week. Maybe we should have made more of that, you know, after the game. How do you feel as a group, and maybe you individually,
Yeah, I mean, the last two games have been better. Obviously, the one in Tennessee is still bad decision, bad throw on my part. But I feel like, it's still something that we've got to be very aware of. It's a very concerned effort of taking care of the football. And we obviously know the statistics of when, this league is very ball security driven. You don't turn the ball over, you give yourself a chance for better success.
There was a failed third down conversion in the last game. Cole Beasley came off the side and chucked his helmet on the ground. Afterwards, he said his competitive nature probably got the best of him.
Yeah.
What have you learned about Cole Beasley since
And as much as people want to say that, I love that. I love that as a football player and as a quarterback, how much he cares, how much he wants the ball, on a third down call like that. He's someone that's got a lot of trust in me. I've got an extreme amount of trust in him. That's going to continue to grow and continue to get better. He's a very smart, savvy football player. He finds a way to get open. He's a great teammate. I don't think there's anybody on this team that can say a foul word on what Cole is and who he is as a person, how he plays this game. So he's one of those guys, like I've said, that's humongous for us in the locker room, to be in that receiver room and be a leader, and then to go out there and, wear his emotions on his sleeve, there's not much more that you can ask there for that.
Because that's who you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Josh, so as a quarterback, you go against the corners on the other teams, Tre'Davious White, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. What does a player like that do to an opposing quarterback? And obviously, you're just speaking from a teammate.
Yeah.
But going against a guy at his caliber.
Well, it's not just Trey. Obviously, we know how great of a player Trey is and how great he's been. But it's that whole defensive unit, the safeties, Micah and Poe, and then you got Levi on the other side. You got Taryn and Kevin play inside. Then you got, those linebackers in the middle, Milano and Tremaine and what Zoe does. And he's always, hopping back and forth and in the front four there. So it's a collective group, and to be able to go against them in training camp and to be able to, compete against them each and every day and try to get better. It's very fun, because iron sharpens iron. So. The better they are, the better they make us, and vice versa. So glad we got them.
There's a lot to like about with Josh Allen. I'll tell you, and Steve and I probably fall into the category of, oh, you guys love him too much. A couple of observations I want to make, Steve. May I make an observation?
Go on.
The question, and it was a legitimate question. Cole Beasley was visibly upset in third quarter of the Dolphins game. Josh missed him. He was open. The radio booth, you could see he was open. The ball didn't come his way, and Beasley kind of chucked his helmet coming to the sideline. Josh just asked about it. Now, some young quarterbacks, some 23-year-old quarterbacks, might, they might take offense at that. They might say, well yeah, I don't like that, and have it out with them. No, Josh said, I like that. I like to see that competitiveness. I like to see that fire. He wants a ball on third down. I like that. That is so mature of Josh Allen to say that. It really is. I can think of some younger quarterbacks. I won't name any, but young quarterbacks, maybe 23 years old, maybe 2018 draft picks in the first round, maybe playing, 100 miles down the road west of us, who might not like that, who might say, hey, don't show me up, you're showing me up. Yeah, I missed you. Don't do that. No, Josh is saying, I like that. I like to see that kind of competitive fire. I just like the fact that Josh has that maturity at a very young age to say, yeah, I saw it, and I know I missed him, and I'm glad that he's upset that I didn't give him the ball.
Yeah,
I love that Josh thinks that way.
Yeah, and there's nothing. He's old enough and mature enough to also know that stuff happens on game day without it being personal.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Beasley's not saying, hey, put Matt Barkley in the game because I don't want to play with this guy anymore. He's saying we missed a shot there, and we got to hit our shots to win these games. He's frustrated. He's frustrated that, you work hard to get open on a route and the ball goes your way or goes incomplete to a guy who was covered and you're standing there by yourself. Yeah, it is frustrating. And a little bit of it is ability, and I don't want to go, too deep down the rabbit hole here, but I could see scenarios where it's the best way to communicate with your quarterback, by throwing your helmet down, showing him how frustrated you are. Frustration breeds attention. And when your quarterback's over there and he says, well, what's going on over there? And he, you know, get a chance to look at it. And he says, yeah, all right, you know what, you're right. And next time you get your look.
Yeah.
The quarterback, you know, he understands. He goes, you're frustrated over there because you're winning and he's not looking at you. The quarterback I played with was notorious for that. We'd be in a film room watching a game, and Jim would sit there, and he'd be watching the guys, not the guys that he threw the ball to. He'd be watching the guys he didn't throw the ball to see if there was a better option. And when he saw it, you could see him on the game days after seeing going through that, where he would look at guys because he knows they've been winning consistently, and he didn't trust him yet, or he didn't know that yet. And he'd throw him the football. It's a way that receivers and athletes communicate to each other through their body language, through conversations in the film room, and certainly on game day. In a game like that, you let all that stuff's like water off a duck's back too. Josh ain't gonna lose his mind over somebody throwing their helmet when he didn't throw him the football on third down, but he certainly hears it and he's like, okay, I'll keep my eyes open. If I see, I'm giving you the ball.
Yep.
So and that's about as deep as it goes emotionally. It's not like their relationship is damaged. It's communication, and that's the way guys do it, particularly when the intensity's ratcheted up like it is on game
day.
So
I just want to give Josh credit at an early age for being like that. That's all.
Absolutely.
You're telling me it's not that unusual? I think it might be for a young
It's unusual
guy.
The way he handled it. It's not unusual what Cole Beasley did.
Right, right.
You see guys doing that all the time, and you see guys get into – well, nowadays you see it more than ever because everybody has cameras on the sidelines now. But it has happened since the beginning of football. Guys get frustrated the way things are going, and they have it out on the sidelines, or they throw a tantrum, or they do something because nobody's listening to them, right? So they finally get some attention, that's it. That's the safety valve. The pressure is released. Okay, let's go play.
I thought Josh handled that great. And yeah, he also handled like a flurry of early questions in that news conference about 40 minutes ago about the struggles that they've had. And, yeah, they did struggle early in the game. We talk a lot about the fourth quarter comebacks. Josh has not been perfect, not been near perfect in his play so far this year. But he handled all of those questions, laughed about it a little bit, right? I just think that
– everybody's talking about the long ball still.
And the long ball question too. I get it. You'd like to see it. They'll continue to try, I think. And just keep – that's a low percentage pass. And the Bills are on the low end of the percentage now because it's a low percentage pass.
They had a 98-yard touchdown pass last week. You can have a 98-yard, 12-play touchdown drive that takes off 6.5 minutes of game clock with the number 2 or 3 defense in the National Football League. Or you can have a 1-play, 98-yard touchdown pass and put their offense back on the field with more time to win.
It's crazy. Look, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
There's room for improvement on offense.
It's fun to watch.
Especially.
I get it. And they would love to be hitting these long balls. And they're missing on a number of them where these guys are getting behind them, and they don't like it. But they're working on it. And Josh even said it. He said, listen, it's on me. I got to execute it better. I got to put a little more air on the ball here, a little less on the ball there. You know, they get it.
He handles it well. That's my point.
Yeah, he does.
He's asked about the only interception he's made in the last 2 games.
And it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, he has to answer that.
It was 21 days ago.
That's right. Hey, what do you think? Trade deadline 6 days away. How badly do the Bills need to make a trade? We haven't checked up on Twitter yet. That's our Twitter question of the day, and we put it out there for you to answer. Do you think they need badly to make a trade? We know what's happened around the AFC. We know how the landscape has changed even since the season began 6-7 weeks ago. And the Bills are off to a good start. So does that mean they should make a trade? Do they owe it to their fans, their players to make a trade? On Twitter, the trade deadline 6 days away. How badly do the Bills need to make a trade? We've got a lot of response on this, and it's pretty one-sided. 1,100 votes so far, and most of you, heavy margin, 78% say only if it's a deal you cannot pass up. I think we'd all go along with that. 17% say badly. They need to make a trade badly. This is our year. 5% say not at all. We're 5-1. Let's hear from you about that. 803-0550, toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet and we will read them. And let's do that now from the tweet sheet brought to you by Corgan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. From Mike, he says, I chose B. To me, this offense is not built for the big pass play, and I'm okay with that. Pre-snap penalties aside, moving the chains and avoiding third and long is what will keep this offense in every game. Beasley, Knox, Croft, I think he means, and Brown can get us to 11-plus wins. That's the magic number, 11-plus wins.
11-plus. I love it. Okay.
That's Steve's magic number.
From Nick, he says, in my opinion, the Bills are in need of a linebacker defensive end help. Milano's absence was obvious, and the defense struggles to get sacks. Pressure, yes, but no sacks. I'd love to see Von Miller with the Bills. I also think just trading Zay and adding Duke – Bean will probably be fine with the wide receivers, but if healthy, A.J. Green would be nice. So, yeah, Von Miller and A.J. Green. Wow.
Any other Hall of Famers you want to add to
that? Right.
Why don't we?
Yeah, that's a great idea. A.J. Green, Von Miller.
Yeah, that'd be okay.
For a six of the seven? Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah,
From Nikki. How badly do the Bills need to make a trade? Nikki tweets this in. We should not sacrifice a ton for a big-name star, but we could use help at receiver and offensive line. So I'd look for someone we could get with a few mid-round picks. A solid, capable lineman in particular would help our line, which is definitely improved, but not perfect. Okay, that's reasonable. I get that.
More assets into the offensive line. Listen, better offensive line, the better things are offensively. I know that. I'm never going to shy away from improving the offensive line if you can get that done, no question. That's a quick question. All right, from Tiffany, here we go. The way the season is unfolding, we have a shot at the playoffs. Adding a weapon not only on offense but an additional pass rusher would push our D to an elite game changing an elite game changing force. Next year's pick, if you have to give it up, would most likely be late in any round. I say go for it. Now she's talking a little logic. If the Bills go to the playoffs, they're not going to draft any better than number 24 in the first round. Or
you believe
20th in the first round, that's top 12.
You believe.
Right. Yeah, if you're in the playoffs, that's where you're going to end up. So she thinks that kind of pick, late first round, is worth giving up for a player who could make a difference in the last half of this year. And maybe beyond if it's that kind of contract setup.
It's an interesting argument, Tiffany.
I hear you. If the guy, for instance, a guy like Jordan Phillips, who didn't work out for his first team, we just had him in here sitting next to me in the studio. A guy like Jordan Phillips didn't make it, but he's got second-round grading and a little, maybe even first-round talent, but he dropped to the second round, flamed out with the Dolphins. They didn't like him. He didn't like them. The Bills get him for really next to nothing, and all of a sudden, in the last two games.
Flamed him off waivers, yeah.
Yeah, he's got three sacks and a sack for loss, a forced fumble that they almost got. I mean, the guy's a force all of a sudden. And as you heard, you know, Andy Benoit said, he's the best defensive lineman the Bills have right now. So that kind of addition would be, yeah.
That's the definition of a deal you can't pass up.
That's the definition of a deal you cannot pass up.
If you have a strong conviction on a guy like Jordan Phillips. Now, if we're talking Kelvin Benjamin, a trade deadline deal they made 2 years ago, I mean, they were desperate for receivers back then. I get it. But, you know, and believe me, there's a crap, roll of the dice element here too, right? A little bit like the draft. Let's trade for that guy. Are we sure about him? Well, we feel pretty good about him, right? There's no sure things here.
There are certain things you do know about him because for most of these guys, particularly if he's a young enough player that you guys in this building are the ones with this team who interviewed the guy for the draft he came out in. For instance, the last 3 years. If a guy came out in the last 3 years, the guys in the building for the Bills now are the guys who interviewed him before the draft to say, hey, maybe we will take the guy, particularly if he's that talented. So you'll have an idea of who he is that way, off the field, in the locker room. But to see him play in an NFL setting for a couple of years also tells you more about him, even if it's not for your team. He's playing against guys you're playing against, not against Duke or North Carolina. He's playing against the Jets and the Bengals and the Cowboys, right? Yeah. So there's more extensive knowledge about the guy now than there would be otherwise if he's one of these guys like a Jordan Phillips or A.J. Green or what have you.
One more from the tweet sheet, and this is a good one from Jeremiah. How badly do the Bills need to make a trade? Jeremiah says, only for a deal they cannot pass up for an elite pass rusher. They're set at wide receiver, he says. Hashtag Free Robert Foster. There's a movement now to Free Robert Foster.
Free Robert Foster.
I don't know. Are they set at wide receiver? I mean, A.J. Green is a difference maker, but I don't think that's likely to happen. Are they? But without a receiver of that caliber, I would say, yeah, they're probably set what the best they can do right now, middle of a season, at wide receiver. I really do. John Brown is a number one caliber wide receiver. He's demonstrated
that
already.
He's played like it. He's getting
separation. First third of the season. You can see it.
And let's all be real, we're big Josh Allen supporters here. A little bit of their inability to make most of these guys is Josh.
Sure. He's got to get better.
Josh. He's got to get better. He's got to get more accurate on the deep ball. He's got to see John Brown when he separates in, you know, in one-on-one coverage. He's, you know, it's a little bit on Josh. I've said this since the beginning. I think being a great wide receiver in the NFL is more about the guy pulling the trigger than it is the guy running the route and catching the ball. You got to have opportunities. That's why you get – and it's in stark – it becomes starkly apparent when you talk even fantasy football. Everybody talks about opportunities, touches. Are they going to get him the football? Is this guy going to be okay, or is he going to be lost in the shuffle with all these other great offensive players? Who's getting the most chances? It's exactly the same thing that happens when you're talking about how good a wide receiver is in your own offense. Can our guy get him the football? And certainly in some cases, we've never had a quarterback that can get guys the football. You know, it's been a long time. Tyrod Taylor, he wouldn't pull the trigger. He felt, you know, it had to be wide open, and those windows were rare. Nate Peterman, yeah, he looked great in practice, but in the games, the lid came off the guy. So you got to have a guy pulling the trigger if you're going to get the most out of the guys we've even got on this roster. And I think that falls on Josh's shoulders a little bit.
Yep, a little bit. Hey, more on this topic. How badly do they need to make a trade by next Tuesday? We'll talk about that. Plus, Steve and I got into a little minor spat yesterday about Tom Brady.
About
you're guaranteeing that he's coming back next year?
No, I didn't say that, but I will tell you this.
Get the tape.
Stop counting on that guy leaving.
Well, let's hear what Brady says. We've got a soundbite from his radio show in Boston coming up in a moment. Come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. Live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our Seneca studio in Orchard Park. Got good shows coming up the rest of the week. Can I give you a little preview? Ike Reese, former Eagles linebacker, radio host in Philly, is going to join us tomorrow. Talk about the Eagles. Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas tomorrow. Friday, Drew Bledsoe is going to join us on the line. He's coming back for the game this Sunday, part of the Legends effort. Drew Bledsoe will be on the show with us Friday. Greg Cosell, Lorenzo Alexander, and Daryl Moose Johnston, the color analyst on this game and next week's game for the NFL on Fox. He'll be joining us coming up on Friday as well.
He's got a Buffalo home stand.
Yeah, that's right. He does have a Youngstown home stand for him.
Yeah.
Steve, I don't want to fight with you about this. I do submit, and we argued about it yesterday, there's a chance, and maybe more of a chance now than there was when the season began, that this could be it for Tom Brady. And let me just be, don't look at me yet and start yelling.
I'm listening intently.
Today, on the radio in Boston, on his radio show on WEEE in Boston, Brady acknowledged the uncertainty of his future with the franchise. He's in the final year of his contract. We had the Adam Schefter soundbite where Schefter said, look, his home is up for sale. His trainer's home is up for sale. He's on the last year of his contract. Don't rule out the chance, anyway, that Brady might retire. Brady was asked about it today on his talk show on WEEI Radio in Boston. Here's what he said.
I don't know. And I think that's been a unique situation that, you know, I've been in, because I think when you commit to a team, you know, for a certain amount of years, you kind of feel like your responsibility is to always fulfill the contract. And, you know, for me, it's been good because I'm just taking it day by day and I'm enjoying what I have. And I don't know what the future holds. And the great part is, you know, for me, football at this point is all borrowed time. I mean, I never expected to play 20 years, and I'm playing on a great team, and, you know, it's just been an incredible 20 years of my life. And to play for Mr. Kraft and Jonathan, the Kraft family, and for Coach Belichick, and to have so much success, a dream come true. So I don't, you know, one day I'll wake up and I feel like, okay, that'll be enough. And when that day comes. And I don't know if it'll be after this year. You know, I don't know if it'll be 5 years from now.
He didn't close the door. Your thoughts, please.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are it could happen. It could happen. And the outcome of this season for the Patriots, I think, matters too. They win another Super Bowl championship. He would probably think, man, this is, I'm feeling old. It's hard to put this back together again every year. Look at the moves they've had to make. We're without Gronk now. Who knows is next to go? Yeah, it could happen. That's all I'm saying. Your thoughts, please? You guaranteed basically yesterday it would not happen.
I don't think it will. I think
yesterday it was a guarantee. Now when you hear him talk, what do you think?
Right.
No, you did. You said don't count on it. It's not happening.
Don't count. I think it could. Listen, his contract's up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think he's not posturing for a contract?
You think he'd play somewhere else?
It might be that simple. Yeah. You'd think a guy like Tom Brady's played 20 years, won all these championships, wants to squeeze out another couple of years, wants to go back, maybe play in front of the hometown team. Maybe he wants to go over. Him and Garoppolo are good buddies. He goes, you know what? I'll come over to San Francisco. I'll sit on the bench and let you guys win, help you win a championship.
You think Tom Brady would do that?
Why wouldn't he?
Because he wouldn't want to sit on the bench.
How do you know that?
I have a pretty good feeling he would not be up for that. He's pretty damn competitive. 30-3 against the Bills.
He's got a beautiful family who loves him, and he's got a family back in California around the San Francisco area.
All the more reason to just walk away.
Yeah.
I think you're reaching.
Or play for the hometown team.
I think you're reaching, man.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying it'll happen either. I'm saying that's something he could say might happen in order to get another contract, another year.
Yeah. I don't know.
Put his home on the market. I mean,
that's significant.
One of his homes on the market. Yeah, there you go.
And his trainer's got his home on the market. That's significant. All I'm saying is, I wouldn't rule it out. I would not rule it out.
He's 42, so you can't rule it out. You're right.
You ruled it out yesterday.
Everything's on the table. We don't know what's going to happen, but I don't think the guy's leaving.
All right.
I don't think Robert Kraft – Robert Kraft will not let him go to another team, and if he knows that
– You just said he might go to the Niners.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Robert Kraft's not going to let him go to another team. I think Tom Brady knows that, and I think if he says, I'm willing to go to a backup in San Francisco, if I don't get the right number from the Patriots, Robert Kraft will give him the right number.
Your body language indicates that.
I'm just pretty set in stone that I'm not.
You're set in stone.
I am not counting Tom Brady out of next season for the New England Patriots until somebody drives a stake through his heart.
Okay. Your body language tells us you're set in stone.
I am. This is my body language right here. Solid as a rock. My arms folded across my chest.
Not willing to listen to any
looking
other
looking you dead in the eye, telling you you're nuts.
You're nuts. I'm not nuts.
There. Don't
I'm
get your hopes nuts. Up.
That's part of it. I
know.
It. Part of it. We got to get in NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Take the lead here, please.
Here we go.
Mr. Tasker.
All right. NFL True or False number one. If the season ended today, Christian McCaffrey would be MVP. He had 176 yards, 61 receiving yards, and 3 total touchdowns. Oh, I'm sorry. Is this not it? No, I got a different one. Oh, hold on. Oh, we already did this one.
Oh, we did this one.
Did we do that one?
I don't remember that one.
All right,
here we go.
We go.
NFL
right,
true
go.
Or false. Sean Payton is the NFL coach of the year so far. True, false.
I say false.
Let's see. Yeah.
I say false. I think Frank Reich's the NFL head coach of the year.
I think there's a guy who's got an office about 150 yards away from here who might have something to say
like
about
a homer.
That, too. I don't care. I think he's done a heck of a job.
Yes.
I think he could be coach of the year, too. Payton is good. Payton's got a ton of talent and a team that returns after playing in the championship game. Frank Reich's done a great job losing Andrew Luck. This coach here has done a really good job
so
as well.
So we're both saying false.
Yes.
Not only that, there's a couple other guys that are kind of probably in the money as well. All right, anyway, Rodgers' game versus the Raiders shows that the Packers' reset was the right call. I'll say yes.
You mean the coaching change?
Coaching change. I will say yes. That's a team that is talented. They're playing with a little bit more they're invigorated by the young coach. I think Aaron Rodgers was the key to the whole scenario. There's no question about it. Whether it makes him look like a diva or a coach killer or maybe he's got too much power within the organization aside, it was the right call because it made everything click the right way. So I'm going to say yes. I think the Packers are back in the saddle as being one of the teams to beat in the NFC, and I think the coaching change was a big part of it, no matter what the reason was.
I'm going to say true as well. I know we're very early in the season. Things could change, but they're off to a good start. They appear to have kind of assimilated all these new pieces into their offensive attack. And, yeah, the relationship between Rodgers and new head coach Matt LaFleur seems to work. And there were intimations during OTA's minicamp and even in the training camp that might be a little bit of a tough relationship. It has not been. It looks like it was the right call. And finally, NFL true or false. You ready for this one? It would be beneficial for the Titans to trade away Marcus Mariota. What do you think?
Absolutely true. He's not playing. And if they can get anything for him, maybe they get an asset that'll help him win later on down the road. So, yeah, I think so. He's not. They benched him for Ryan Tannehill. They're going to go with him. I think that marks the end of the Marcus Mariota era in Tennessee. And if he's an asset that they can get anything for, it means they won't lose him in free agency and they get at least something for the guy. So, yeah, it would be beneficial for them to trade him. Although, listen, he's a great – He's a great teammate, good person. He's got a lot of great qualities, which is why he was a Heisman Trophy winner and number one overall pick of the draft, or number two overall pick of the draft. He's got a lot going for him. It didn't work in Tennessee, and there are a lot of coaches out there with an ego that tells them they can get the right things out of him. So we'll see. But I think, yes, it is. It's time for the Tennessee Titans to move on. The sooner the better.
I think so, too. True. Look, the Bills were just there, what, 3 weeks ago, 2 games ago? I just have a feeling that's a franchise in a bit of a – it's no, not a bit. It's a mess. I mean, Derrick Henry is like their number one asset. He's really good. Other than that, I don't know what you have to build around. You're certainly not going to pin your fortunes on Ryan Tannehill. They've seen enough of Mariota. I don't think he's up to the job. I didn't think that for the last couple of years. That place is a mess. Yes, start, rebuild Tennessee. Get what you can. What could you get for Marcus Mariota, by the way? Second rounder?
No.
I don't even think so. Third rounder, fourth rounder?
Fifth or sixth rounder. They're not going to re-sign him.
Right. All right.
This is the last year of his contract. He's going to be a free agent. The only reason you trade anything for him is because you would covet him as a free agent, and you don't want to have to outbid other teams.
All right, that's it. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live presented by Collada Health from the Seneca Studios in Orchard Park on Buffalo Bills Radio. Okay, so what do we learn from today's show brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills? Good show today. Good show. Field Yates, ESPN. That's what we say to each other.
Good show. Like Little League, just passing each other, slapping hands.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider. Steve asked him about the Bills' 5-1 start. Are they for real at 5-1? Here's what Field Yates had to say.
There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL right now. Like, everybody is going to have their chunk of games against inferior opponents. Are the Bills perfect? No. Do they have some areas that I think put a limit on maybe what their outlook is for this year? Yes. But they're 5-1. I think, I hate to use the word lock because I don't want to set up expectations, but I view them as a near lock for the playoffs this year. And I think their defense is already championship caliber. So I think as much as people may want to say, who have they played? And, they barely squeaked by the Dolphins last week. You play the teams that are on your schedule. And at the end of the day, I will take an ugly win over a pretty loss or a moral victory 1,000 times out of 1,000 in the game of football.
Yeah, we all would. Field Yates joined us. Jordan Phillips joined us right off the practice field. Bills defensive tackle. We asked him about playing the second of three consecutive home games, how sweet that is for the Buffalo players, and about going against the Eagles at New Era Field this week.
They're explosive. They live off explosive plays. Wentz tries to take shots downfield. They have a great O-line. It's going to be a big challenge for us this week. They have some great receivers as well, and they have a heck of a defense, so it's going to be fun. And anytime you can get the Fins into it, it's a different ball game. It takes out the hard counts. They have to go on silent. You can get off the ball faster. That just helps the defense out a lot.
Jordan Phillips, totally different from the guy you think you're watching on the field on Sunday, isn't he, when you get him in
here? He's calm, low-key, soft-spoken, articulate.
It's great.
He's like,
you turn them loose on Sundays at 1.
Poking and say, you wake,
right? Yeah. Hey, we had a good Twitter poll today with the NFL trade deadline 6 days away. We wanted to know, how badly do the Bills need to make a trade in the next 6 days? Pretty overwhelmingly responding, 78% of you out of 1,100 said, only if it's a deal you cannot pass up. Nobody would argue with that. 17% say they need to make a trade badly. This is our year. Understand that. Don't agree, but I understand it. 6% say, no, not at all. We're 5-1. That's a good – even though – look, here's the rare case, Steve, where I think we are illuminated by what the fans respond to on Twitter today. Feel that way.
No question. I think they're not out to make a deal at any cost, most of them. They're just saying, listen, if it's a deal that helps us win and it's at the right price, actually if it's at a cheap price,
right,
you can't pass it up. let's do it. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think that's no different than every other day of the calendar year. So I don't think there's any added urgency to make a deal at this point.
Production assistants today, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon. Another good show, almost as good as today, coming up tomorrow. Join us then. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.